Now back to the Green Architects Lounge.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Green Architects Lounge podcast here on greenbuildingadvisor.com. I'm your host, Chris Briley.
I'm your host, Phil Kaplan. Hey Chris.
Hey Phil, welcome back. It's like you haven't changed a bit.
It's like deja vu all over again.
Yeah. So here we are talking about from design to built.
Yeah, delivering your green home.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Getting your builder involved and keeping an eye on the budget and the quality of construction. And all that. So, here's what we did, everybody. We kind of took a cue from the when we did our geothermal podcast. Notice I said geothermal because we dispel heartily that word. In that podcast. So if you've got if that bothers you that I just said that, go listen to the podcast and I'll be exonerated because you can say geo exchange, ground source heat pump, or you can be really cool and just write GeoX. You know, which I've been doing a lot.
GeoX.
Yeah.
I like that's fancy.
A GeoX system, you know. Okay. Just put in one of these GeoX systems.
One of those GOX.
Or maybe just a good. Anyway. So what we did there is
I'm confused, but I'm with you, Chris. Yeah, I'm always with you, buddy.
Thank you. That's these cocktails. Gosh.
I'll follow you to the end of the earth.
Wow. You can be my wingman.
Right on, brother. I'm there.
So what we did is we sent an email to three prominent builders.
Yeah, three prominent green builders.
Green builders.
These guys who have been doing this for quite a while and have shown their commitment.
Right. Whose opinions
through their work.
Right.
Yeah, whose opinions we respect.
Right,
and whose work we respect.
Yeah, and there's a lot of those kind of guys out there doing it, but these were three that we. Know and talk to and
they contribute at Green Building Advisor. Exactly. And you see them on a lot of blogs and they go out of their way to put green design forward and green building forward.
For example, we've got GBA's own Michael Chandler. I can say GBA's own because he's an advisor there.
That's right. So Michael runs Chandler Design Build Creative Construction out of North Carolina.
Yeah,
he's at ChandlerDesignBuild.com.
Right. He's got. Yeah, go check him out because he's got tons of awards and seems like a really great guy. Has chimed in many times on our blog and other blogs. In fact, he really made our home energy monitoring blog exceptional. It was okay until he chimed in and started talking about what he does with home energy monitoring. Go check that one out too, because
boy, the comments are so important.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so and we want comments on not only the same questions we're going to ask, but you listeners out there, you're going to have your own feelings about the best way to bring in a builder and get it done. You may be a hothead builder, just be like, I don't need an architect. You guys have it all wrong. Here's what you do. Mm-hmm. Or you might be, have a crush on Phil and think he's the best. And won his number. In which case, you can reach him and me at GA Lounge at greenbuildingadvisor.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Hey, feel free to like us over there. That's always makes us feel good.
I like you, Chris.
Yeah, and Sheila checks that out and keeps up with that. Thank God, goodness.
I'm glad Sheila's keeping up.
Oh yeah, because we can barely get together to do this stuff, and let alone the old Facebook.
So Michael Chandler,
right?
Paul Eldrenkamp. And Paul's been around the scene for years and years.
Sure.
His company is Big Meister Design Build. He's in the Boston area, I believe. He's in Newton.
Yeah.
So it's BYGGMEISTER.com.
I always get the I and the E messed up on Meisters and Steins.
Yeah. But Paul's been quite a force on this scene, so we're excited to have his input. And, he's a Nessie regular and always great comments.
Sure.
And then lastly,
our old buddy Dan Colbert, yeah. Who's with Colbert Building. Is it Dan Colbert Building?
It's just Colbert Building. Okay. So Dan is someone that Chris and I have probably mentioned a number of times. He and I have both done some excellent homes with Dan.
Yeah.
He is really probably considered, one of the premier builders, if not the premier builder in this area.
Yeah,
and green building.
And he also moderates the with the building science discussion group. He's the chief moderator, and I'm his understudy, so I get to do it 50% of the time because he's always busy and stuff. But anyway, so that's those are the people who've chimed in. So we've asked them each three questions, and we've gotten their response. So I guess we'll just go through. I'll read a question, and then we'll just go review what they responded with, and go from there. And okay. We'll post all these, of course. So question number one, we said, in a perfect... What, are you ready, Phil?
Let's hear it.
All right. In a perfect world, how and when should the builder-owner-architect relationship start? And is it any different for a green project than a typical project? We thought we'd ask that for just about everything we're going to do.
So. Michael Chandler responds.
Yes.
Preferably, the builder and architect would have a pre-existing relationship of having built several homes together in a collaborative relationship.
Sure.
Yep. The builder should be brought in to run a preliminary estimate as soon as the preliminary space planning and concept drawings are done and before the working drawings have started.
That sounds very familiar, like he listened to the first part, but we got this before. No. I think a lot of this is the same, and that's a point of discussion at the end here.
Yeah, maybe that's a good thing. Okay. Yeah. With a green project, the main difference is the documentation of the collaboration and input from all team partners as part of the green certification process. It's also helpful to identify green best practices already standard for the builder so that unfamiliar green practices can be elaborated on the plans, specs, and tear sheets.
And I think that is extremely true, because I know sometimes, you know, I'll start to draw something with, you know, outsolation, as it were, you know, but end up with a double stud wall, because that the builder's more comfortable with that, as opposed to screwing through all the, you know, they haven't done all the exterior flashing around windows and all that. So, hey, that's cool. If that, for that builder, is cheaper to do that than the exterior foam sheathing, then I actually prefer that myself. So let's do that. Or it could be the exact opposite, where, you know, one builder may have one way, you know, like I remember Dan with ICFs. He's like, what R value do you want? I'll get it on the inside with my, he likes his concrete guy. Doesn't want to do the ICS, you know, just let's do it with, you know, foam board or something like that. So for working with Dan on a particular basement, it was cheaper to do a traditional wall that we insulate ourselves after the fact. Fine, if that's what the builder's comfortable with. No need to push a green, product or system on a builder if the same thing can be done with the system they're comfortable with.
Right, the more experienced builders know how to do these things.
Right.
Dan is. I mean, so let's read a Dan's comment.
So Dan,
I'm curious if we can hear his sarcasm and his self-deprecating nature in his.
I'll see if I can capture it. I don't know.
I think you can't do his accent, can you?
No. His voice is more like this. You know, but I wouldn't get it right.
That was pretty good.
It was okay, but yeah, I would thought about it. You know, he'd be good to get in here, but I don't know if his voice would be too abrasive, but. He's rolling his eyes at me. No, he doesn't listen to this.
He'd be fine.
He probably doesn't. Well, I don't know. I don't know if he does. He definitely chimes in on GBA, but he'll listen to this one because he's in it. So
that's right.
Well, he says, I think either the architect gets the concept, or the contractor gets to some rough parameters, size, budget, basic design, then brings in the other party. Especially important is green projects because, and then he bullets, if green means energy efficiency, critical details have to be thought out carefully, and there can be design or construction details that the builder or architect needs to think through from the start. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Also, builder needs to be on board for these details, and best way to do that is to have them be part of the team that develops them.
Mm-hmm.
True. We're with them there. If green means product, have to be products, everything from doors to windows to paints to caulks, etc., contractor is comfortable using, and the architect is comfortable with the look of.
Mm-hmm. That's important too, because sometimes we just say, oh, you know, somebody's talking about building green, says here's a great new product. We read it somewhere and we throw it in our specs, but we don't even know if we, you know,
yeah, maybe it looks like
resource
crap.
It.
Right. Yeah. Oh,
locally.
Yeah. That.
You know, we should do that research, but sometimes. You know, the builders used it before and say, I can get it, but I just don't like it.
Right. Right. Or it comes from, you know, all the way over here and there's an eight-week lead time on it, and that messes up everything.
Right. There's a number of issues. So, absolutely.
And I think I'll tease Dan about ending with a preposition later. and then he also continues, in general, much better way to make sure design construction align and come in on budget.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I shouldn't have broken that up like that.
But it is interesting because Dan basically starts off and saying either the architect gets to the concept, or the contractor gets to some rough parameters, then brings in the other party.
Right.
So, and under contractor, yes, it says size, budget, and base design. So, for Dan,
right,
you know, it could be the contractor leading this project and bringing in the architect. How do you feel about that, Chris?
I'm actually fine with that, because what that kind of implies is, you know, he's got a client who comes in, and the project immediately gets to a point where they say, you know what, we really need an architect on this, because they're trying to, you know, a lot of what we do, although we don't talk about it that much here on all this green stuff, is, you know, we string a lot of disparate beads together. You know, like someone says, I like this living room like this, I like this wall system, I like this, you know, garage, you know, they'll many numerous things that you just, it's really impossible for the normal person to interlace together and make a beautiful cohesive design. That's what we do. And I think a builder will quickly get overwhelmed if the client starts to get, we'll say, for lack of a better term, fussy with a design and how they want it and how they want it to look and how they want, you know, there may be like just too many things to keep track of, and they say, you know what, you need an architect. And that may be what's happening here when he says that. So,
and I agree with you. I think it's fine too, but to go back to Michael Chandler's comment that he starts off with, that builder, preferably the builder and architect, have a pre-existing relationship. I mean, that's a big part. So if you've got a builder that you've worked with before, and they come in with something that's a little pre-digested, you know they trust you.
Yeah.
And trust is such
a
huge part of this. You can't say it enough.
Right. Yeah. The client's got to trust the builder.
Yeah.
The builder's got to trust the architect, and all around, it's a triangle.
It's
going to
be mutual trust and respect.
Just like I said before, just like a marriage.
Just like a marriage.
Yeah.
Let's see what Paul.
I'll let you read it.
I always have to say Eldrin Camp in my head
before you
quietly just, before it actually comes out of my mouth, because I don't really want to say it that way.
Eldrin Camp, Big Meister.
Yeah.
Right. Off you go.
We're gonna call you Paul.
Yeah, Paul. So Paul says, go ahead, Phil.
Paul says, I think the relationship should start as early in the project planning process as can be arranged. If it's a green project, I think it's all the more important to do so. I think it's very difficult to achieve the key green characteristics of long-term durability and resource efficiency by trying to specify them in the construction documents. Regardless of what's in the specs, the construction team needs to understand and buy into those goals from the very beginning, and it's going to be easier to get that understanding and buy-in if the builder is involved in the process from early on. He said those very same things in part one.
Sure.
He's right on. I also think it's a mistake not to take advantage of the builder's experience and expertise from the very beginning. Absolutely. In my 30 years in construction, see, I told you he was an old man.
Yeah.
I've learned from a lot of mistakes, sorry, Paul, many of which the architect at the table has yet to make, I'm proud to say. I can help the team avoid those mistakes if I have the opportunity to provide input from the beginning before too many design ideas have become entrenched in the plans.
Sure. I agree with all that, especially the part about coming to the table and kind of listening to a builder who's been around for 30 years, and he's, especially if they're into the green building, and they have been for a long time. And they tell me there's a better way. You know, they look at a detail and say, I think we can do better. I'm all ears.
Oh, we better listen, right?
That's right. And if you don't, and if you feel your ego getting bruised right there, take it easy, buddy. Take a little break. And put it in check, because you got some growing up.
Right. There's, you know, it's a new era. There's no room for that kind of architect anymore.
That's right.
I truly believe that. We talk about that often.
Oh, yeah. The second you think, this business has a way of making sure that your head doesn't get too big. The second you think, yeah, you know what? I really got this thing. That's right when you trip over something.
Smash.
But, yeah, right. Face down into
bloody mess.
Into a big humble pie. You know, your face goes right into a big humble pie.
All right, so let's keep going.
Number two. Yep. As the project continues, how should this relationship evolve or be maintained as it is? And is it any different for a green project than a typical project? We say that. So.
Mm-hmm. And you and I had in our mind the way we would answer it.
Yeah.
So these questions are a little loaded, but
yeah, they came back. I don't know. Well, we'll talk about it later.
All right. So, Michael Chandler says, as the project continues, there will inevitably be minor changes in the plans and specs. It's critical to have updated plans on site and online that reflect these changes. online. I like that.
That's I do smart. Too. That made me go, oh, and online.
Yeah, we do that with Sunbin on all of our projects.
Yeah.
Smart. It's also helpful for the designer and builder to share information on what elements of the project went smoothly or not, and where more information on the plans might be helpful. Example, reverse lapping stucco lathe, mid-set window details, etc. Reliability of internet suppliers, new product assessment.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah. Again, I just sit here in agreement. Yeah. Thinking, we sent these out thinking, we might get some pushback or whatever, but it's interesting that they're they're just adding on to what we said before.
They are, but there's also some differences. Let's finish with three, and then I want to kind of go back and forth.
You got it. So Dan says, needs to be thought out carefully. Continued involvement of designers should be largely devoted to making sure green goals are being met or improved. Just as contractor is mostly serving a support role during design, architect needs to be support during construction. Helping to think through construction details, helping to resolve contradictions or conflicts that may be discovered, etc. Design changes after construction starts often can come at the expense of efficiency goals. And that, by the way, is bad, he says.
There's the sarcasm we're waiting for. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. I didn't do it justice in my reading. I'm real sorry. I don't think this is dramatically different in green or non. It's a challenge on all projects.
I like that Dan doesn't feel like he has to actually write in complete sentences.
Oh, yeah. No. He can just abbreviate. Yeah. He's busy. There's a lot going on. Yeah. It's email.
It's email.
Right.
We're with you, Dan.
Right. So Paul says...
Paul says, regardless of whether the project is green, and just why are we making that optional, haven't we learned that typical doesn't work? Touche,
good one.
Yeah, I think there should be consensus on what the project goals, budget, and schedule are. I think that if someone on the team sees a problem with achieving any of those objectives at any point, they should say something right away. The client should not be in charge of the project. If the client is in charge of the project is almost certainly doomed. That's great to just come right out and say that.
Yeah, it is. That's because, keep going.
How do you say that to the client? I'll keep going. Well, if the architect wants to be in charge, then the architect should be organized, responsible, and realistic. Should really be in charge, in other words. Sometimes the contractor should be in charge, though, and the architect should be able to let this happen if it serves the client better. Mm-hmm. Whoever is in charge, there should be clear milestones tied to a calendar and clear deliverables for each milestone. And someone on the team needs to have a self-deprecating sense of humor that can ease the tension at some meetings. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For there will be tension. If no one has a sense of humor, the project is even more doomed than if the client is in charge.
And I find that spiritually wonderful, just that he put that in there. I mean, because it's like, the success of a building project is predicated on someone's sense of humor. You know, I love that it comes down, because in a way it does. All this comes down to really how a person navigates everything, on all parties. Yeah. But this is probably the best comment of all of them, just because it's like, I don't know.
I love it.
I know. It sounds like my professional practice professor. Are you in charge? Is he in charge? Who's in charge? Who's responsible? I mean, it's just like you have to have these.
If you're not in charge, someone's going to die.
That's right. It's exactly right. Buildings fall, buildings fail, buildings fall, people die. You know, it's like structures fail, buildings fall, people die. Sorry.
And the sense of humor thing I love again. I think Paul reminds us that building a home is a personal thing.
Yeah.
It's very different than an institutional building. So the sense of humor, being self-deprecating, really knocking back that ego again.
Right.
That doesn't serve us well. It doesn't serve the process.
And like when I read that, I started thinking about of my project. Who is in charge of these projects? And I kind of feel like that it definitely shifts. I'm not in charge. Well, while it's being built, I think I'm not in charge while it's being built. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if I wanted to be, I'm not. I think personality wise, I definitely play the support role. Mm-hmm. In the construction, as things pop up, I'm like, okay, what's wrong? And I can help solve things, but I'm not the one steering the ship.
Well, so. I would go on a limb and say, as architects, we want builders who are in charge, who are not afraid,
absolutely.
Who know.
Yeah.
You know, I want a builder who's done three LEED Platinums like Dan has, or been working for 30 years on the same wonderful projects that Paul has, You know, like any of these guys, like Chandler's done the same thing.
Yeah.
I want one of these guys in my projects. I mean, that's very desirable to get.
Exactly. And
if you're dealing with a rookie builder,
you have to
be in charge. And it puts us in an interesting position because there are less builders familiar with this kind of work.
Right. All right. Question three.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what is the best way for the owner to be assured that he/she is getting the best price from you, the builder, particularly in a non-competitive pricing situation?
You know, the builders, they started getting tired by this third question.
I know. They're like, ugh.
But it's also the toughest one for them.
Heck yeah, it
because
is.
Because we ask this because it's in your face. How do you expect these clients to trust you from day one if they don't really know you?
Right. You're hired, question. Mr. Builder. Yeah. Welcome aboard. Help us out. And then how do we make sure that you're not just like saying, yeah, I got this one,
right,
putting your heels up and saying, what's your price? Yeah, we'll use that. Right. And not being competitive anymore.
That's right. We're oversimplifying it, but let's hear their answers.
Yes.
Michael says, take the time to set a clear scope of work and establish a willingness to communicate, there's the word, and seek collaborative solutions.
Right.
Communication, collaboration.
Right. That's
in big letters every step of the way.
Right. Pretty open and broad, that response, yeah. I think I could say. Dan says, again, my article goes into boring detail on my opinions on this matter.
You know, that's right.
I should mention, he wrote in JLC, and I think Michael did too.
And so did Paul.
Yeah, these guys contribute across the board, so just Google their names and you'll start getting articles. But Dan wrote a great article in JLC about this exact subject.
And the same thing, and so did Paul, right, about, what, 10 years earlier, 5 years earlier. And,
oh, right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And
in the 90s.
Influenced Dan, which is very interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, and you know what? We'll provide links to those. They're at JLC, a competitor of GBA, those losers at JLC. no,
okay.
I don't think anyone on this website feels that way about JLC.
No, actually not.
Yeah.
But Google them and you can.
You'll find them, and we may provide links anyway, just because we like them. But where was I? Okay, so he says, again, my article goes into boring detail on my opinions in this matter. The short answer is they can't. Which is, you know, have that guarantee. They can't. But the notion that competitive bidding provides more assurance is hooey, in my opinion. I think the most important thing for a client to feel confident about is, can the design... I'm sorry, I'm butchering it, Dan. I'm sorry. Can the design build team bring a project in on budget? And that's a question that can presumably be met by talking to prior clients. So he's saying, you know, if you trust us, hire us. If not, you know, get packing. I don't know. I just put words in his mouth. Maybe that's not exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, I think he's saying do your homework. You know,
that's right.
There's no such thing as a sure thing.
Yeah.
That's building a house is taking a risk, but you do your homework and you talk to past clients. And
I think his point is you know, if a builder wants to make money and change orders, he can easily do it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so. You know, he's like, you know, this competitive bidding thing. There's ways around. You know, there's ways to get your money if you're less trustworthy,
right,
one way or another.
Right. So don't think that's the end all.
Right. Just because it's competitive doesn't mean you're going to get the best numbers. Mm-hmm. You know.
All right. So we thought Dan was king of sarcasm. I love Paul's answer.
All right. Go for it.
The best way for the owner to be assured that he/she is getting the best price is for him/her to hire 6 contractors to do the same identical project. After 20 years, he/she should be able to evaluate the upfront costs, the repair and maintenance costs over the 20 years, the warranty follow-up, the resource efficiency, and the overall durability delivered by each of the 6 contractors, and then he/she will know with great certainty which one provided him/her the best price.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. No, that one's very good. I loved that one.
So there's no way to do it.
No.
Unless you...
No.
Look, I mean, at it 20 years after.
And I think that's... I think that the takeaway from that is just, you know, dear client, architect, builder, just relax, you know? Relax. Trust, communicate,
mm-hmm,
get it done. You're going to do your best. Mm-hmm. It'll be a great project.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's...
Yeah. But I would reiterate, I mean, I would add to that, let me say.
Sure.
Say, do your homework, and then you can relax. Do your homework.
Yeah.
Interview a lot of people. Go with people you trust.
And then,
check references, and then relax. And then
right,
you just got to believe that people have your best interest in mind.
Exactly. And
I like your bonus question, Chris.
Yeah, I did. I threw this in as a bonus question. Bonus question: on a scale of 9 to 10, how awesome is it to work on a project that has an architect than one that doesn't?
Michael Chandler says, "I'm married to my architect, so clearly that's a 10+." Love the scale, though.
Yeah, perfect.
And then Dan, scale of 9 to 10.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. And then Dan said, "If you guys don't know why architects suck by now, I can't help you out." I love that. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Once again,
yeah.
Paul says, "I would say a 10, because if there's no official architect, then either I'm the de facto architect, which would be a real laugh riot, or the client is the de facto architect, which would not be a laugh riot."
Right.
Uh-huh. And that's happened. And we can see those buildings as you drive by.
And there's that can be a real problem. So.
All right. Thank you, guys. I think those are wonderful comments. To sort of tie this together, I still think that these guys all advocate for the builder coming on ASAP. And we were not really advocating for that, Chris. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. They're like, as soon as we can get in there, get us in there, mm-hmm. is what they're saying. We're mm-hmm. saying, let us get to a certain point where we have something tangible. Mm-hmm. Then we'll bring you in. Do you think that's our egos? Do you think that's us saying we want control of the design? We don't want you... Or do you think we've got? It's all predicated on other issues like price and stuff. What do you think?
I think it's a complicated question. I do think green building green projects are different because they tend to be less design oriented, frankly, and I think sometimes that's to the detriment of green building.
Yeah,
my concern, and I think yours is too, we said this before, no beauty, no green.
Right.
That if we feel something is threatening the beauty of our design, that may be being too practical too early, it doesn't allow some of the intangibles to come out, then it is a concern.
Right.
We pointed to projects that have gotten attention in the past, there's one Nessie Net Zero building, of the year, for instance, that have just not been beautiful.
Yeah.
And those are the things that have gotten out there. And people look at it and say, oh, is that what a green building is going
to
look like?
Right. I don't want a green building. I don't want mine to look nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That hurts.
So in my mind, a real concern there.
Yeah. Ugly buildings mm-hmm. will get torn down mm-hmm. Much, mm-hmm. much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't last. Ugly buildings right. don't last.
But I think we can cross that bridge. And I think we do that by... trusting each other a little bit more and then having everyone kind of have more experience in the green building realm.
I trust you, Phil.
I trust you.
All right, man.
But we're not builders. So I think this is a little telltale, and I think we have some work to do to close this gap.
I do too. So, Phil.
Yeah.
That's part two. Shall we... do you have any... in lieu, we usually do like a 6-digit idea.
I do. Can I say one more thing, though?
Oh, all right.
When looking for builders to do this podcast, to answer our questions, realize most of the builders on GBA that chime in are design build guys.
Yeah.
Paul is, Michael is, Dan's not.
Right. We also asked Peter Taggart, we didn't give them exactly a lot of notice.
Like a day.
It's like, hey, can you answer these? You want to play? Yeah.
But Peter is excellent, been doing this longer than anyone in our region.
Yeah, and he's design build. We had a moment where you emailed me and said, hey, these are all design build guys, except for Dan.
Yeah.
And then we were like, huh. We both kind of rubbed our chins and said, I wonder why that is, really.
Yeah, so why is that?
Yeah,
let's hear it. I mean, the question is, are these builders starting as builders and then bring in designers? Because if we started designers and started building our projects, I'm going to say we die at it. But Chris, you did that for a while with some success, right?
What's that? Design build? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. That's how we got the first Lee Gold House in New England was like... being frustrated with the market and saying, oh, this can be done. Why isn't anyone doing it? And saying, we could do it.
Yeah. But is this a concern, though? Because does that mean, architects and builders working separately at homes? Is that a dying thing?
No, it's not a dying thing. But I think what it is you could, with a design build, you have, I don't know. I think the design build team is more they're design focused, as in they're builders, but they want to improve the design of things. So they're like, they start getting involved and digging into how they ask the question, how can we make this better? That's not to say builders don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's just they decide they want to take that on. They probably somewhere along the way thought, you know what, we can design this better. They're not, you know, just like the client who's feeling like they're not seeing what they want in the market. Probably at some point that builder wasn't seeing what they wanted in the design world, and so they launched off on their own way. That's just, I don't know. That's a good question for them. Chime in at
GreenBuildingAdvisor.com. Michael Chandler's wife is an architect, so that...
Well, there you go.
Yeah, he had no choice.
Right, that might explain a little bit there. Yeah, but
that's unique.
Anyway, but speaking of going out on your own, achieving things, mm-hmm. In lieu of our six-digit idea or other cockamamie things that we talk about here, we want to give some props.
Yeah, we do.
We want to issue a good old congratulations to fellow Mainers here. You know, I don't know about you, Phil. Mm-hmm. You're starting to feel proud of Maine, right?
Absolutely. Hopefully that buzz was going out. We got Martin Holiday out here a couple months ago, and he was very generous with his time.
Oh, yeah.
And visited a whole bunch of projects. And frankly, we wanted to show him and kind of show the world that we consider ourselves it's a hot spot.
Well, right.
And it's a hot spot because it's a cold spot, so we're kind of forced to do low right. energy designs here.
Exactly.
A wonderful emerging, but really they've emerged.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Company that is, how about this, Chris? They're design build.
They are, yeah.
Geologic, up in Belfast, Maine.
Spelled with a G and an O.
Yeah.
Logic.
Primarily Alan Gibson, who's the builder, Matt O'Malley, who's the architect. Alan was the builder of the Bright Built Barn that I worked with him on years ago. So right. this is his second big award. And the award is essentially they got Project of the Year at Greenbuild in Toronto this year.
Which is a real big deal. We're proud of them. Of course, you know, we share that, you know, we're both envious. But more than that, and this is why we're saying it on the air, is we're really proud that they're representing our state, our area, our team. We're putting together a Passive House Alliance with them. Yeah. I mean, everyone here. And so it's like, way to go, guys.
And the thing also to remember is that, again, the people who are listening to this podcast, the people who are doing the right thing, there's going to be plenty of work for us. Really, this is the way things are moving. So let's be generous with each other.
Do you mind if I knock on some wood right now?
Knock away. You
know. Okay, done.
Okay, wonderful. Hey, you want to hear about my song?
I'd love to. Why don't you take us out with some great tunes? You were playing it earlier.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Good. You were shaking your hips.
Yeah.
Rocking out.
Oh, I didn't know you were watching me. All right. Yeah.
The band is not from New York. They're from Portland.
Which Portland? Portland?
No,
or
Portland,
lousy
Oregon.
Portland. The
other Portland.
The Portland that was named after our Portland.
Right. We were first.
We were.
Right.
You know, that was a coin toss. You know the story then? There were two guys that were going to name Portland. One was from Boston. One was from Portland. They wanted to name it either Boston or Portland. Mm-hmm. And the guy from Portland won the coin toss. And of course, that Portland, when you say, I'm from Portland, everyone assumes.
The other one. But we're first.
We're from the best one, or you are.
But. These guys are from the second.
Right. So anyway, I'm sorry.
The band is called Yacht.
Yacht.
The album is called Shangri-La. I saw these guys years ago open for LCD Sound System, and it was just one crazy dude in a mic and just drum machine. It was weird and wild, like nothing I had seen before. Hmm. His new album is just fun. Like I said, it's hip-shaking.
Great.
The song is called Utopia. So let's dance this one out, Chris.
You got
Cheers.
It, man.
Great to do another one with
Cheers.
You.
Thanks, Builder Friends, for chiming in, giving us those answers to our questions. So
take care.
All right.
Thanks for joining us.
about that. Utopia, 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 utopia.